Hello and welcome to the First Impressions Podcast. This is the official podcast for the Forum of Incident Response and Security Teams. Please join us for the 36th Annual FIRST Conference this summer in Fukuoka, Japan, June 9th through 14th, 2024. For more information, please visit first.org. And now we join the interview in progress.
This time on the show, we're lucky enough to be talking to Nitesh Sarana and Yoromiya Horieshi, which I hope I got semi-correct, both senior threat researchers with Trend Micro. Welcome to the show.
Hello, thank you for inviting us.
No worries. So you're going to be presenting at the upcoming FIRST conference and the presentation From Code to Crime, Exploring Threats in GitHub Code Spaces. Maybe you can give people kind of a quick introduction about what you're going to be talking about, a little bit about what code spaces are if people aren't aware.
So GitHub Code Spaces are a cloud-based development environment. So this service is being made public by GitHub themselves. So GitHub has been in the news for a variety of reasons in the past, like crypto miners that are being abusing GitHub Actions, GitHub repositories that are hosting C2 configurations, crypto miners again, and a lot of other things. What we found was that there were InfoStealer authors who were basically building and testing InfoStealers on GitHub Code Spaces. So Code Spaces is a development environment in the cloud, so you can code directly from your browser itself. So what we found was there were certain InfoStealer authors who were using this service to build InfoStealers.
That's really interesting, Nitesh. Now, as I was reading some of this, you've actually got a lot of information about what the actions they've taken and the proof, basically, I guess. Is that correct?
Yes. So we explored the service from an attacker's point of view. So where we looked into each of the features that are provided by Code Spaces. So for example, you can expose or forward ports on that code space that can be accessible from anywhere. And you can use dev containers. It's a different service, I mean, a different feature, I would say, using which you can automate your environment creation. And you can create such development environments in multiple regions. So this actually fits in the best configuration that an attacker can get, that too for free, with just a GitHub account. There is no payment information required as such. So when we looked into the service and the various features of the service, we thought that maybe this service can be abused. And then we started looking for it and we found hard evidence.
So GitHub offers a multitude of different services. You know, is this just the curse of offering services online in an easily accessible and configurable manner? Or is there really a configuration issue here and a responsibility to make things more secure?
So Code Spaces as a service is pretty much secure. Like you cannot access some other developer's code space instance. But the thing is, these services, like the features that these services provide, they can be abused in a variety of ways. So for example, with exposed ports or forwarded ports, you can create open directories. And because of the design of this service, like these open directories would be very stealthy and hard to detect unless these directories are known. So there were certain other features as well that we'll talk about in the talk.
Carry on.
Yeah, sorry, I would also add like the information that every service, like no matter how secure it is, can be abused by bad actors. So I would say that the Microsoft or the GitHub provides like great features, but everything in our world, not only in cybersecurity, basically anything can be abused by bad guys. And this is like one of the examples.
Apparently they are doing a good job of securing the code between developers, but are there any steps that we should be seeing GitHub and other services take to prevent this sort of abuse, or are we still at the point of observing it?
Well, when we talk about this type of abuse, so as Nitesh mentioned before, the threat actor basically, I would say, creates the server, and on this server, he can either host some files or he can use some, let's say, CNC server of the malware, which will be kind of like hosted on this GitHub Code Spaces. This is also, I would say, this is very important feature to have for the GitHub because, or GitHub Code Spaces, because if you are like a regular developer, not threat actor, you need to test your application. So you need to have these kind of features. So I would say the thing which maybe any company, not only GitHub, could improve is that when malicious abuse of their service is reported, they should maybe shut it as quickly as possible. Because very often what happens, like I report some, repository hosting some malicious software, and it takes sometimes days, sometimes even weeks until someone notices it and until someone blocks it. So I think this is the only thing, in my opinion, which could improve.
It sounds a lot like there was an opportunity here to, you know, maybe consider different attack vectors and abuse scenarios when going through that threat modeling process. And quite a lot of the time, I can imagine that if it's not caught at an early design stage, it becomes a lot harder to address once it's already a released product, you've already got things out there in the wild, and also people are using that functionality in a way that maybe you didn't expect. It becomes a lot harder to tie it down without really breaking the service. Do you see this kind of scenario playing out in different platforms beyond GitHub?
So far we have observed with hard evidence, like GitHub Codespaces is being abused, but we haven't really found other services that are being abused for building info stealers or building malware or being used as a CNC. But the interesting bit here is when we think of free cloud services or cloud services in general, like these are like a double-edged sword. You can use it either ways, right? And this is just an example that we want to highlight, that such free cloud services like cloud-based developer environments, they are being abused actively by like threat actors or, you know, cyber criminals in that matter.
It's really hard to build detections for something, for someone who is using the service as intended, but using it to do bad things, because other than just, there are very few clues to give you that distinction, I would assume, in most of this code.
Yes. Additionally, like the bar to create GitHub Codespaces is really low. You just need a GitHub account. That's it. You don't need any payment information. And to get a GitHub account, you don't even need a valid email address, for instance. So it just gets complicated on and on. But the interesting bit here is that this is the first time that we have observed attackers who are building info stealers going the developer way. So they are using the developer environments to build their info stealers, test them as well, just like modern software development is done.
I guess this pushes us in the direction that we've been going for a number of years, where this kind of, you know, development of malware, development of info stealers and rats, it's a job. People get paid to do this. You come to a company, you work from 9 to 5. It's just what comes out the other end isn't something that makes people happy. It's something that steals information from people.
Yes, I mean, it has been observed before as well, but this is the first time that we saw that, okay, this service is being abused to build info stealers. And the interesting bit was that we wanted to leverage certain logs to create detections. But I think that is an area of improvement for such service providers, where they can look into the service in much more detail and the visibility compared to us as end users.
Yeah, I mean, as Martin mentioned, it's very hard to detect stuff that's going on a domain you expect people to be visiting. So the incident response, the detection mechanisms, and also access to third-party logging and things like that on these platforms, even where it's available, is lacking in some of the details. So I think there's certainly a room for an interesting conversation there.
Who do you want to see when you look out at your audience at first? Who would you like to come in and listen to your talk? Who is your audience?
I'd say that our audience, there are maybe two kind of people, like, because we are like researchers, Nitesh is focused on cloud. So the presentation will have two parts. One will be about the cloud. It will be like Nitesh's part. So we are talking, or you'll be interesting to, or you'll be inviting people who are interesting in cloud security. And the second part will be my part, and it will be about malware analysis and reverse engineering. So threat researchers, threat hunters, people who like to, or who are interested in reverse engineering, all of them are welcome.
I'd like to add to what Jaromir said. So even developers would be interested to look into how these legitimate services are being abused. So it's like, at least they are aware of these angles of abuse so that they cannot get tricked. Because developers, when we think of developers, these are the people who hold all the credentials, all the keys to your kingdom, right? So it's very important to protect them. And this is what we also talk about in our session, that, okay, these are the certain things that you need to take care of when you are using such online cloud-based developer environments.
Great. Well, I'm looking forward to seeing the presentation and having some discussions on site in Japan. And thanks very much for taking the time to sit and chat to us today. We've been talking to Nitesh Sarana and Yoramir Horeshi. No, I'm not going to get your name right. I apologize.
On that note, Chris,
I recommend catching their talk at the upcoming FIRST conference, From Code to Crime, Exploring Threats in GitHub Code Spaces. Looking forward to seeing you live in Tokyo, live in Fukuoka.
Okay. Thank you for inviting us for the podcast and see you there.
Thank you for having us. Yes.
Thank you for listening to the First Impressions podcast. I'm your host, Martin McKay, and along with Christian Riley, we interview people who are going to be speaking at upcoming FIRST conferences. We look forward to seeing you at the 36th annual FIRST conference this summer in Fukuoka, Japan. It'll be going on June 9th through 14th. For more information, please visit first.org.